No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Monday? Oh, yes, the sun did come up in Tuscaloosa. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, you can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're live right here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, trying to restart everything, get everything back going after Alabama lost to Oklahoma. Hard, hard weekend for the Crimson Tide, losing to Purdue in basketball at home on Thursday and losing to Oklahoma at home in football on Saturday. We're going to talk all about the football side of things. We talked about the basketball stuff on Friday. If you want to go back and listen to that, you can on the all the appropriate channels. We're here with our man Theo Fernandez. Follow him at Theo Fernandez _ on the Twitter machine as we're hanging out trying to dissect what went wrong for the Crimson Tide. You can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340 extension 800. I've got a handful of voicemails right now from Dax, from Cameron, from Steve, so we're excited about that. We want to thank everybody for joining us right there on the voicemail side, joining us on the comments at Bama Central, at Theo Fernandez _, at Joe Gaither 6. We're going to have a lot of fun today in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. The show is proudly presented by Purple Turtle Roofing. At Purple Turtle Roofing, we're not just another contractor. We're your neighbor and your advocate when it comes to protecting your home or business. With years of hands-on experience, top-tier certifications, and a commitment to excellence, we've built a reputation as Alabama's go-to roofing solution. Purple Turtle Roofing specializes in residential roofing, commercial roofing, emergency storm repairs, full-on roof replacement, and insurance claim support. Hook them up today. Call them today at 877-787-6635. They'll come out and check out your roof today. We're going to catch up with Brax Garrison here in the next couple of days, probably Wednesday. We'll get his perspective on Alabama and Oklahoma. We'll find out what he's been doing with Purple Turtle Roofing over the week and try to see how things can get back on track in Crimson Tide land. So that's what we're going to do today, Theo, is basically break down the loss, tell everybody what went wrong. Obviously, the turnovers were a huge, huge factor. The special teams were a huge, huge factor. But I do think despite Alabama putting up 400 yards of offense, Oklahoma's defense had an excellent game plan coming into Bryant-Denny Stadium. I watched the game over again late last night, early this morning, and I'm writing something for BamaCentral.com, things I noticed and really focusing on Oklahoma's pressure packages. Yeah, Alabama's offensive line played pretty well. You got the run game going just a little bit better, but I think Oklahoma's defense played extremely well and had a very, very smart game plan going up against Ryan Grubb, trying to confuse Ty Simpson and this offensive line. So we'll get into all that, find out what went wrong, did anything go right, and how can we salvage the season from here with Theo Fernandez. Theo, golly, your Giants were so close for me yesterday. Jalen Hyatt not completing his route, not running the whole flag route into the end zone, stopping, and Jameis throwing what he was expecting right there would have been a game-winning touchdown, ultimately an interception. And it's another bad week for the Giants. How are you? Are you okay? Like you took it with, you were there with the basketball game. You gave us your report on Friday. You were there with us on Saturday at Bama Central. You wrote several pieces. I thought your insight to the Oklahoma locker room was very, very good. I want to hear about that here in just a minute. And then the Giants letting you down again. So like three big, big fat ones this weekend. Are you okay?
Yeah, Jalin Hyatt is so bad. He is one of the worst NFL players I've ever seen, and that includes Evan Neal. I mean, this guy is just... Now, mind you, even if he ran the route, there's no chance under the sun that he would have actually caught that ball, because I've seen him do this before, but it's... He is a strong case for, no exaggeration, being the worst route runner in NFL history. He does one thing. He does one thing and one thing only.
Fly down that field.
And guess what? You're not that good. You're not able to beat the NFL corners like that. And it's he's so annoyed about the Giants. And I shouldn't be, because, you know, we found our franchise QB. We have a lot of things
going on. Well, Jameis Winston.
Jameis is awesome, man. Jameis really is. Like, it was easy to enjoy that entire game, even knowing that, yeah, we're going to lose this game. I did not doubt that for a second. But he makes things much more fun. Glad it's him instead of Russ, and hope I get to watch Jackson Dart soon. But obviously Alabama the focus this week. And, yeah, basketball, football, rough weekend in Tuscaloosa. After we talked about, was this the greatest Alabama sports weekend a week ago? Into this. What a sequence. What a crazy how things can flip so fast.
Life is all about balance.
It is.
Get really, really high last Saturday, the Saturday prior, beating St. John's and beating LSU. And then you get to come back down to earth, losing to Purdue and losing to Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, yeah. So where do you want to start? You want to start offense? You want to start defense? You want to start special teams? Let's start special teams, because yeah, I'm offended. I am deeply offended. Okay, if anybody – well, actually, we'll start on the voicemail line, then we'll get into special teams. That's what we'll do. We'll let our callers, since they took some time out of their day to call us, we'll lead with them. You can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's hear what some of our friends have to say.
Why? Why? Oh, they didn't drive more than 50 yards one time, three turnovers on our side of the field. The defense, no, Kane Womack, I love you. The defense was fantastic. Guess what? Ryan Grubb, you need to get your freaking, it wasn't even Ryan Grubb's fault. I don't know what happened. Our offensive line was getting freaking smushed. And, like, I'm at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for words. This was horrendous. First home loss, black hoodie loss. The offense has to get their poo-poo together immediately. This is awful. I cannot stand today. Oh, and I had an Auburn friend just texting me. Oh, I don't like this. I'm going home. Oh, I hate this. This hurts. This hurts so much. Oh, John Mateer had 138 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. What is that? The offense just kept turning it over and just giving points to Oklahoma the whole game. And I'm blaming the offensive line. The offensive line was the reason we lost this freaking game. I don't care. It's out there. Everybody's texting me right now. I cannot stand this. Roll Tide on to Eastern Illinois. We're making the playoffs and we're winning the national championship. I don't care what anybody says. Roll Tide.
Oh, don't you just feel for Dax right there? You can hear the pain. And yeah. Dax, man, my guy, you hurt my heart with your just because I can feel your pain. Oh, my man, I hope you're okay. I really do.
Every single syllable hurt for him to get out there.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I just wanted to reach out and give you a hug. Oh, that made me sad. He's right, though. The offensive line, Buns. Oh, we'll talk about that because I think Oklahoma had a great plan for them. I mean, you got a little more production in the run game, but and you got some decent pass protection at a couple of times, but it wasn't consistent enough. And even when it was, Ty was rattled because of the pressure packages. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dags, I feel for you. Let's keep going. We got two more right here.
Hello, Mr. Joe Gaither. This is Mr. Steve Simpson. So Alabama, with no running game and those turnovers, really put themselves in a bad position. That was disappointing. I don't blame Ty as much as for everything, but the last few games, it's been tough to watch, actually. But even I know we're winning, but they seem to be struggling. The defense played well. So anyway, roll Tide forever. And maybe we can beat the Barners in a couple of weeks, I hope. And maybe get a shot in the playoffs anyway. All right, bud. You're doing a great job. Like your show. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We appreciate Mr. T. Simpson joining us on the voicemail line. What you think right there? It has been painful to watch. Yeah, not just this past week. Go really ahead.
It's painful right now. That is a great way to put it. And, you know, you look at this team and the way that, I guess, the narrative that I think most fans have rightfully had about it has shifted from how do we go from week one, you know, early season, oh, these linebackers are horrible. What is Kane Womack doing? Ryan Grubb looks like a genius, to all of a sudden we have an offense that's been dysfunctional at times, and the defense is there a single defense in the country that has consistently done more with less and held Alabama in games in huge moments than this team? Like, this defense is carrying. This defense is doing everything in its power. And if this defense was anything short of elite, Alabama is not in the playoff race right now.
Especially the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You do what you did at LSU, at South Carolina, and then this past week, I know you lost, but you held Oklahoma, and Dak got to it. Not a single touchdown drive over the 50-yard mark. Really, really set into bad positions by your special teams and by your offense. And that's why I want to start with special teams once we finish this last voicemail. But, like, defense, you're exactly right, has been really phenomenal, particularly the last 3 weeks. And I think going all the way back to almost the Vanderbilt game, but really the Missouri game. The Missouri game, you're presented with, hey, monster running back. How many yards did Amon Hardy go for this week, past week? 300, yeah, is that right?
He's crazy.
300 bleeping yards. Just unbelievable with Amon Hardy. So you're presented with one of the best players in the country, or one of the best running backs in the country, and you answer the bell holding him to like 52 yards. And I think like 48 of them came after contact. So like you were in his grill the whole day. You did have a pretty good day against Vanderbilt. You obviously, but Cedric Alexander busted that big run, but outside of that and Pavia kind of scrambling just a little, you were all over Vanderbilt. And you know, Tennessee, their high flying offense, they got it going, but you held them down in the red zone. You turned them over in the red zone.
That pick six was the game right there.
Oh yes,
that flipped it from a game that probably would have been a nail biter to look at this cushion. That's a 14-point swing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, really, really, the defense deserves every flower that you have in your garden.
Going back, the offense scored 0 points in the second half against Georgia. The defense won them that game.
Fourth and one stop. They go fast. Maybe should have kicked the field goal to tie it, but they go fast, and LT Overton, one big hand, boom, stops them, and you're able to run the clock out on Georgia. Defense has just been really, since the Florida State debacle, and I know that's been in everybody's mind, oh, you got run over 200-something odd yard, 230, I think, in Florida State. And, yeah, that was bad. But ever since then, it's been one after another stacking great performances.
No, this team is phenomenal. Like, do you believe that Alabama's offense would have, oh, Georgia ties it up with the field deals, Alabama's offense answering? No, that game is going to overtime. you get just all the, this is a clutch unit. This is an incredible group that, you know, you give up one touchdown against Oklahoma. Alabama's offense has a lot to answer for right now.
Oh, man, we'll keep going. We got a comment on the Facebook side. Everett Osmer, have a great show, and I'm requesting Katie this week. We will try to track Katie Windham down for you, Everett Osmer, and see if she's got some time to join us. I bet we can do that, absolutely, especially on this Eastern. We got to get her opinion. We haven't had her maybe 2-3 weeks now. Before the Tennessee game, somewhere around there is when I had her. So we'll get her expert opinion on here pretty soon, Everett. We got one more voicemail right here before we finish it up and start moving into more conversation.
What's going on, guys? Cam here. Man, what a game, if you want to call it that. Led in every single statistical category except the most important one, turnovers. You can't turn the ball over 3 times and spot them 17 points and expect to win the game. Even though Ty throws for over 300, the running game did better than we all thought. Still doesn't matter if you're going to keep turning the ball over. I hate to say it, but the nightmare scenario is slowly unfolding. Relying on a win in the Iron Bowl at Auburn. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm going to go ahead and call it. It's the way it's looking. It's looking like it's going to be a L in Auburn, and that's going to be our season. But hopefully I'm wrong. But roll tide anyways, guys. Enjoy the show.
Cam joining us on the voicemail line, and you guys can as well. 205-462-7340, extension 800. I really appreciate Dax giving us his raw emotion right after the game. Steve calling in as well, and Cam joining us right there. You guys make the show. You really, really do, and I cannot thank you enough. And Cam's right. I'm terrified. I am horrified. I don't even care. Like, this Eastern Illinois game, okay, whatever. We're going to have to talk about it here in a couple days as we go on. And you have to win it. You know, the Wim Sanderson line, the game doesn't matter unless you lose. He's right. We'll talk about the Eastern Illinois. But I'm horrified. Like, it gives me just empty, like the pit in my stomach is growing by the second, thinking about going down to Jordan-Hare and having to win when you're probably in the SEC championship game. You're probably
they are. It's officially
that's all it needs. Yeah. Okay, I didn't follow all the tiebreakers because I've been, as soon as the game ended, I'm like unplugged. But oh, Cam, he's absolutely right. Lead every category except the turnovers, at least the scoreboard. The special teams is where I want to start, really, in just a second. But Cam, chime in on his comments right there, especially about the Iron Bowl.
No, we'll talk about this so much over the next 2 weeks. Yeah. But imagine being an Auburn fan right now.
Oh, you're
and you've
just
had this horrible season, and now you've got a team under a new coach that just scored 38 points against Vanderbilt. And has 3 weeks to prepare for this. And all the struggles of Hugh Freeze, the past.
They've already rolled Toomer's corner.
It's all done. You can forget about every single thing that's happened negative.
They've already rolled Toomer's corner.
If you win this game, DJ Durkin will be an Auburn hero. Will probably get the job, right? There's almost no way he doesn't get the job with the win. This is the dream scenario for an Auburn fan. They're also playing for bowl eligibility in case they needed anything else to add, right? In case they needed anything else to play for. But no, this is as good as an Iron Bowl.
Where's the poison? Where's the poison? Give me the cyanide right now. I don't want it. I don't want to do it. Oh my gosh. And I suppose that's loser mentality by me, but God.
Were you talking about poison as in for yourself?
For myself. For myself.
I'm not sure if it was for yourself or for a tree.
No, for myself. They're not dead yet, Paul, but they're going to die. No, for myself. Like, I would rather, like, walk on a bed of nails. I'd rather walk over hot coals. Oh my gosh. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'd rather go get a colon checked, like than watch Alabama have to play injured and hair for their playoff lives. Like, no.
This is going to be crazy.
Oh, just horrific. Oh man, but that's 2 weeks from now, thankfully. So maybe we can find some courage. Maybe we can find some armor to wear, and you know,
yeah. But there's
do some push-ups.
There is absolutely nothing to think about or talk about until that time. Which that's what's crazy about it.
Cam jumping on the comments. We've seen this time and time again. If I was a betting man, I'm putting money on what's going to unfold in a couple of weeks. I am too. Like oh. Painful. All right, so we got to talk about this Oklahoma game, Theo. We're going to talk special teams. We'll talk offense and then defense because we'll leave it on a high note. The defense did play well. But I'm personally offended by the special teams.
Yes.
For the people who are new to the show, I worked for the football team for my freshman year. My true freshman year was 2008, Coach Saban's second year. And I was the student assistant for the special teams. The student assistant for the defense was a young man named Glenn Schumann. And the student assistant for the offense was a man named Kevin Garver. I don't think Kevin's in high-level football anymore, but Kevin worked for the Arizona Cardinals and for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He was a Bruce Arians man. He got hooked up with Bruce Arians pretty good. Obviously, I am the black sheep of the trio, which that's okay. We're happy with the life we've got right now, and God's blessed me very much. Don't hear me say anything bad about that, but I'm just giving some context to why I'm so offended by the special teams. You end up giving them, like, okay, we can talk about the turnovers, and yes, the pick six hurts you bad, and the sack fumble hurts you bad, but your defense answered the bell on the sack fumble again, holding them to a field goal. You gave up a field goal with a 40-something, you know, 42-yard punt return on the very first punt of the game. They end up, you punt it, Lazier Brooks is covering, dives at a leg, and comes up empty. And they end up running it down the opposite sideline, and you ultimately cover. Lazier Brooks, I mean, you miss, but Lazier, give him a lot of credit. He jumped back up, chased it down, got him from behind. So it wasn't like he had bad effort. He just missed him. The coverage, the rest of the coverage was not good on that play. And Lazier Brooks has to chase him down. I'm not trying to make it sound like he did a horrible job, but he did miss the tackle upon the catch. That would have been like a one-yard return, negative one-yard return, zero-yard return, and giving your defense plenty of field position. Like, to me, the whole dang thing starts with the special teams. The next, okay, you give up 3-0. All right, whatever. Then you are, I think you went 3-and-out again. Yeah, you went 3-and-out 2 straight times. Yeah. You go 3-and-out again, and you're punting again. They get it. They go 3-and-out. They're punting back to you. Okay. They're punting back to you, and you've got this bright idea. And look, I don't mind having Ryan back there. I don't at all. But you haven't had him back there pretty much the whole year. You got Ryan and Cole Adams back there playing, you know, somebody's going to get it if it's short. Somebody's going to get it if it's long. And Ryan actually jukes like 3-4 guys out. He's making a man miss. He worked with about a 12-13-yard return. It was a decent return, considering you've gotten basically nothing out of your punt return unit the entire year outside of catch. All right, Cole Adams, you've caught the punts. You've given us basically nothing as far as return yardage. So Ryan gives you 12-15 yards, and then ball ripped right out. And so it's like, buddy, at least Cole Adams has given you possession. At least Cole Adams has given you possession. And they go, and it's John Mateer 2 plays later. John Mateer spinning spin cycle, really probably the worst play the defense had of the entire day. John Mateer cuts through the whole middle of the defense, spin, 20-yard run, and they're up, well, I think it was 10-0 at this point.
Yeah,
10-0. So the special teams have let you down and put 10 points on the board. Just horrific. Horrific special teams. And then, all right, so fast forward. We'll get to the offense in a second and the turnovers. But fast forward, you're at the end of the half. And this part offended me the most. You're at the end of the half. You have gotten all the way into a decent field goal range. I think it was 36, 35, 37-yard field goal, right? Attempt for Connor Talty.
Yep.
You are sitting right there, 3 seconds left in the half. You have played, frankly, a bad half on offense and special teams because of the pick six and just everything that's kind of messed with you right there. The freebies that you've given them. You got a chance to go in the half even. And Connor Talty pulls the kick left. And people thought, well, he got blocked. I don't give a rip about that. The ball was low. I think you would have missed whether it got blocked or not. Okay, you missed. That's one level of bad. That's one level of, oh, man, disappointing. Okay, disappointing. Everybody can regroup. But for Connor Talty to go into the half, caught on camera, just... I don't know what I've tried so many times to rewind it back and lip to read this man, what he's yelling at David Byrd. But he's yelling at the snapper clearly because it was a high snap that Blake Dowd caught and put down on the spot, right? It was not high enough to where the holder couldn't catch it and put it down. He caught it. He put it down on the spot and got the laces out. And my man still pulled it left as it went through a set of fingers. If you'd have just kept your daggum head down, keep your head down on the spot, do what you're supposed to do, not be worried about all the outside factors. And yes, the snap was high. I'll give you that. We said that last week when you missed a short kick. It was a high snap. You pulled it left. Same exact thing. And Coach DeBoer said as much in the postgame. He's like, well, same problem as last week. Okay. But for you to miss the kick, okay, we can all be disappointed. Whatever. Like, that's not really even the point where that offended me. You missed the kick. We can all go in locker room. We can regroup. We got a second half. You're down three. It's not a big deal, right? Everything's fine. But for you to just, honestly, mother bleep, the long snapper. Like, the most that I got it was high snap, and I think he said some choice words, but I couldn't really lip read it very, very well. And I'm usually okay at lip reading, but I didn't feel confident on what he said. What are you doing? You're 11 of 17, 11 of 16 on field goals. 11 of 16, 11 of 17.
17.
Right. Thank you. So you've missed six field goals this year. And if you're doing, and if you just missed two, the one last week against LSU and the one this week against Oklahoma on two high snaps, and you pulled the ball left on both times, like, and okay, I'll even give you grace on the 50-something yarder they put you out there for Florida State. So three. If you've only missed three kicks this year, but you're up to six now, right? Mm-hmm. Do your own job first before you, and look. Was it a high snap? It was a high snap both weeks in a row. But Blake Dowd, holder of the year. I mean,
he's doing a great job.
That's a little facetious, but like doing a great job is spot on.
Saving snaps,
right? High snap. I'm catching, bam! It's down on the spot as soon as where it needs to be. Keep your dead. What's your job? My job is to walk off the steps. Is to keep my head down. Is to when it snap, go. Don't look at anything else. Just focus on my technique. Step with the left foot. Follow, bang with the right foot, and follow through. Keep my head down through the whole process. I didn't even notice that it's a high snap. Oh my! It just sent me through the roof. And in a game where you lost by 2 points, you lost 23-21. Everybody wants to talk about the turnovers. We'll talk about them in just a second. But like, you gave them special teams. You had a 3-point loss at halftime, so there's 3 points. You gave them 3 points on the first punt return. There's 6 points, and then you gave them 7 points on the fumble punt. So 13 points off special teams.
Yeah.
So you basically won this game 21-10. 21-10. Even with the offensive turnovers, if you have decent special teams, if you don't have just boneheaded, if Ryan doesn't fumble and you go three and out, it's fine. You go three and out and you punt it. It's fine. Your defense is playing well. You punt it. Blake Dowd's been booming the ball. Blake Dowd's your special teams ace right now. He is booming the ball as a punter, and he's catching and holding pretty daggum well. Just deeply offensive to me to lose the game in the small margins. Like, okay, the pick six, it was bad, but Ty got. The offensive line got. Isaiah Horton didn't finish his route very well. Like, just some multiple factors happened at one time to where Oklahoma ended up with a good play right there.
Joe,
I'm deeply offended by the special teams. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me catch up.
There are 74 kickers in the nation that have attempted at least 15 field goals this year. There are three kickers in that group with a worse field goal percentage than Connor Talton. This is a problem.
Don't be yelling at your snapper. Go deal with it in the locker room. You're about to go in the locker room away from the cameras, away from where everybody can see you. If you want to go in the locker room and mother bleep him in front of everybody, right? If you want to go in the locker room and fight, if you want to swing, if you want, I don't really condone that, but like, you are 50 yards from the locker room. There's no time left. You're all running to the locker room. You could go in the locker room and jump him right then and there if you feel that bad about it. Now, granted, it's still your fault because your job is to keep your head down and to actually make the kick, but The lack of accountability right there is really, really offensive to me. You set me up for failure. Because here's the deal. Ty, on his pick six, he barely insinuated Isaiah Horton's fault. It was Isaiah Horton's fault. Yes. It's probably a little bit of Will Conformby's fault as well. But he didn't even hint at it. Like, you had to listen really hard in the post-game press conference to hear it. And he did a good job keeping himself buttoned up and taking the responsibility for it. Like, sometimes quarterbacks, you get got. You're expecting a receiver to keep running a slant route, and he kind of stops his route, and it goes right to a defender. Buddy, Isaiah, you're hot here. You are the check down. You are the release valve. You are the, oh, crap, they're blitzing. They're on me. I got to get this ball out. And you're not where you're supposed to be. And they get a pick six. And Ty hardly even let on that it's Isaiah Horton's fault. Hi, like, you had to go look for it. And I'm sure Ty is irate. I'm sure that he's sitting there going, golly, hung me out to dry. You know, free blitzer, rushed in, hung me out to dry. Offensive line didn't pick up the blitz in the right way. And maybe Ty shifted. Maybe Ty set the protection wrong. Totally could have. It could have been on him as well. Because I'm not there on the calls, and I don't know what everything means just based on watching the copy over again. But, like, Ty could have set the protection wrong, or the protection could have not identified the right guy, and he let a free blitzer in. Ty gets the ball out. Isaiah Horton doesn't hit the slant hard enough, and the ball goes right to Eli Bowen. Not all on Ty's fault, but, you know, everybody sees Ty throw the interception. It's 15's fault. Everybody saw you 31 miss the kick. Everybody saw you yank the kick left, and, wow, it was jumping over the snapper. It was within the margins of the rule book to where if you're stationary, you can jump over the snapper. If you're stationary and a yard off the line of scrimmage, you can leap the snapper. You cannot get a running start and leap the snapper. That's the distinction there. And it was pretty close, but it was close enough to where they didn't call the flag. It's not the snapper has got to snap the ball and block couple hundred pound guys in their face, and, oh crap, this guy's jumping over my head. Like, things are happening up there. Keep your head down and make the kick. Or if you don't make the kick, whatever, we can go talk about it in the locker room. We can all be disappointed, but to exacerbate the issue by just sent me to a deep, deep rage.
As it should. It is on a team that's so free of any of those kind of issues.
Yes.
In a program that hasn't had those kind of issues at all, for it to come at the kicker position, not to discount the job kickers do, but for this to be where the issue comes up Infuriating is the only word. You're completely correct.
So 13 points right there on special teams. 13-point margin right there. Obviously, you didn't give them 3 points on that missed kick, but you didn't have 3 points right there. So you end up 13 points on the margin right there off special teams. And I wonder, like, I'm never going to really be a person on a podcast, a person on a radio show, a person on a YouTube show to talk about we need to fire this coach or that coach. I'm really not. And unless it gets, like, absurdly bad, like Matt Eberflus with the Bears last year, I was openly calling for his job. But, like, we're not going to talk about any sort of I'm not the type to let's fire somebody, but I am starting to get here with Jane Nunez. What are we doing here? What does the special teams add? Like, what does it add right here to this football team? Like, right now, you're getting basically nothing from your special teams. Blake Dowd's punting above average. Is he punting great? No. Solid. Okay. So average, above average, solid. Right? Exactly what you would expect.
Yeah.
He's not hurting you with the punter, but he's not really giving you, like, wow, he's punting 60 yards a punt. Wow, you know. He's above average. Good punter. Good-ish. What are you getting from the place-kicking position the last 2 years? Nothing. You went and paid whatever you paid Graham Nicholson to bring him in. Lou Groza Award winner. You kicked 8 of 10 field goals. And, like, granted, that's not a lot of field goals, but you also only kicked 10 field goals, probably a little bit because I don't think you ever felt very confident in Graham Nicholson. There was whispers in preseason last year, ooh, we don't know if this money was well spent. And, okay, whatever. He was 8 of 10, not a bad percentage. But you never really changed the game either. And a lot of that was because you were hitting on big play touchdowns or punting, right? And so, like, a little bit of that is kind of skewed. What have you got in the return game the last 2 years? Essentially nothing.
Yeah.
What have you got in the coverage game the last 2 years? You gave up a kick return to Wisconsin for a touchdown. Wisconsin is bad. You gave up, and, like, granted, it didn't hurt you because you whipped their tails. And you gave a big return to Oklahoma. I had somebody tell me, and I would have to look this up, but I had somebody tell me that was Oklahoma's biggest kick punt return of the season. And most of their punt returns are fair caught or go for no yards. Like, what are we getting in the coverage game? I'm just confused. I'm just at the point where you got to look under the hood here, and I'm wondering what Jay Nunez is giving you. I'm not sitting here saying let's fire him. That's stupid. I don't have enough information, and you don't have enough information, viewer or listener, to make an accurate assessment of that. But I am in the category of what are we getting from Jay Nunez?
It's a very fair critique. One note on kickers. I think that, you know, Connor Talty, if he stays, will probably, you know, be in the mix for the job. I think you pay a guy to come here who has kicked in a Power 4 environment for a full season. Nicholson might have been a very good kicker at Miami of Ohio.
Right.
When you walk into a stadium that's every week that's holding over 70,000 fans, I'm sorry, but the MAC's just not going to cut it. You know, the guy who's sat and, you know, his only reps are kicking extra points against an FCS team is not going to cut it. The NIL, the transfer portal era, you know, you see so many coaches talk about how, high school recruiting going down, trending downwards. I think kicker is the one position where that should really be amplified. Kicker is the one position where I feel like it's the hardest one to improve at in any way, shape, or form without actually going out and getting the reps in a high-pressure environment. Pay Tate Sandell whatever he wants, right?
My man, 250-yarders in Knoxville, 50-yarder in Tuscaloosa, like, unaffected by environments, head down on the spot, and yeah, you can hear Kirk Herbstreit make fun of the way he wears his pants, but I don't give a rip what my kicker wears if he's banging 50-yarders.
you can go out there with no pants at all.
Seriously, let it hang. Seriously, let it hang and show everybody how big they are. Like, because you're hitting 50 yarders in Knoxville, two of them in Neyland Stadium. Even our sweet, precious boy, Will Riker, couldn't do that.
Couldn't hit it.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I'm dead with you. You got any other special teams thoughts you want ready to transition?
No, because
I've said it three times. I'm deeply offended.
We've got it all out of our system. Hopefully, you don't have to talk about it again. Spoiler alert, we will. But
there we go. Let's transition, turn to the offense. But before we do, we want to remind you the program is brought to you by Purple Turtle Roofing. At Purple Turtle Roofing, we believe our work is more than roofing. It's about service, stewardship, and sheltering what matters most. Our name may be unique, but it's deeply rooted in purpose and faith. The color purple, symbolizing Christ and royalty, reflects our founder's personal belief in striving for excellence and honoring a higher calling in all that we do. The turtle represents something that began as a simple idea, but quickly became a powerful symbol of strength, endurance, and divine guidance. Call Purple Turtle Roofing today at 877-787-6635 for all of your roofing needs. We specialize in residential roofing, commercial roofing, emergency storm repairs, full roof replacement, insurance claim support, and more. We had our friend Brax Garrison join us last Wednesday. We'll have him on again this week. He talked about quarterback play. He's going to tell you about how Ty Simpson managed this past week, but he's also going to tell you about Purple Turtle Roofing because Brax is doing it over there as one of their key employees. Brax will come out to your house. He'll check out your roof. He'll have he and his buddies let you know what your roof needs, give you the peace of mind that you need. Look, as soon as you walk in your home, that's your peaceful place. You need to feel secure. And Purple Turtle Roofing will give that to you. So call them today at 877-787-6635. Roofing with heart, built to last.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Let's keep talking right here. I see your note right there, Theo. No problem. We'll keep going right there. Let's talk about the offense. Because offense, everybody's giving them praise for 400-something yards. But saying three terms, it could have been four. Well, it could have been three offensive turnovers. It could have been four total. You had the Ryan Williams return. You had two offensive turnovers. It could have been three. You have the pick six. You have the sack fumble. You could have thrown another interception down in the red zone. I mean, you did, but you got bailed out by a pass interference. I am not extremely thrilled with the offense. I mean, what do you grade an offense that goes for 400 yards but has two turnovers and really could have had three? Like, you go 400 yards, you probably get an A plus at 400 yards. You pass for 325, you probably get an A plus. You only rush for 80 yards. That's with this team, that's worth at least a B minus. Yeah. Right there. You found some rushing with Daniel Hill, 60 running back rushing yards on 15 carries. So he averaged 4 yards a carry. That's worth about a B plus. Great job. But you have huge negatives with your turnovers. I mean, the fifth straight game with a sack fumble. My man, you're talking about Ty Simpson being a top NFL draft pick, and I do think that he still is. I don't think that this game makes him not a first rounder, not here saying that. But like, you get in the draft evaluation process 5 games in a row where you get hacked from behind and it's sack fumble time. Like, and yes, we all can acknowledge the Tennessee call was probably hooey. It was probably not a good call. All right, but it's still on the record. It's 5 in a row.
Yeah.
It's 5 in a row where you get hit from behind or you get hit from the side and boop, ball goes squirting out. And sure, we're talking about it from an Alabama lens, but from an NFL standpoint, they're going to bring that up and they're going to say, well, this is why Fernando Mendoza, this is why Dante Moore, this is why pick your quarterback XYZ is better than Ty Simpson because they protect the football in the pocket. Rough. And so I think it's such a mixed bag of really, really good. Of, okay, you got some running back game going. You have an offensive line that largely stayed set. You went Proctor, Dewberry, Prailsford, Formby Carroll on the right side. And I know a lot of people are pretty upset. Well, some people are pretty upset about Jaden Roberts not playing at all right there on the right side. I want to make it clear, I don't think money has anything to do with it. People are online talking about Taco Casa money. That is, to me, a wild yeah. statement to make.
Taco Casa is not affecting an Alabama football rotation.
I think that is an extremely wild thing to say. With jobs, with men who have jobs on the line and families at home, I don't think that, well, this player's family is giving us money, so he's going to play in critical moments. No, not at all. There's got to be reasons for it, and I think you saw the reasons for it in the running game. The running game actually did take a step forward against an elite defense. Some of that was to do, I think, with Oklahoma. Oklahoma zone blitzed the ever-loving mess out of Alabama. They didn't always bring more than four, and most of the time just brought four. But they're going to put four, five, six guys on the line of scrimmage, and four of them are coming, and two of them are dropping out. You just don't know which four are coming and which two are dropping out. And when the rush went into the side that's dropping out, okay, I think you got better push, because just like all the Alabama fans that get upset with seeing double mug and the A-gas from the inside linebackers, and the inside linebacker's first step on a play is backwards, right? And people are like, oh, you're opening up the run game because your first step is backwards. Yes, I mean, that's a fair critique. Oklahoma was doing the same thing, but it was zone blitz roulette. It was Brent Venables was like, we'll shake it up. Bam, this one. It's just rolled it up. I got five zone blitzes. Six. It's a six-sided die, right? I got six zone blitzes. I got five zone blitzes and a base coverage. That's what I got. I got five zone blitzes and a base coverage. I'm going to shake up my Yahtzee shaker and roll them out. And it was just, Ty, you better guess which one is coming. Offensive line, you better guess which one is coming. And I think they made it extremely, extremely hard on Ty and on Parker Brailsford and on the entire offensive line, knowing which four are coming and which two are dropping out and vice versa. And it was just like, ugh. They said it this past Monday, Ryan Grubb said, we've got to be elite in our communication. And I don't even think that Ty Simpson was bad and it really identifying things. I just think that Brent Venables and the Oklahoma defense was really, really good. And I think that they mix it up so well. Like I said, I'm being silly about throwing it in the dice roll and just rolling it out. But that's how random it looked to me when I looked it back. And I just looked at the offense and I'm trying to like decipher. Like sometimes it was the two inside linebackers and two tackles and both ends dropped out. Sometimes it was outside linebacker, inside backer, and the tackle and defensive end on the opposite side dropped out. And it was sometimes it was one inside linebacker and the nickel corner coming and the on both outside backers dropping out. Like it was just like, guess who's dropping and guess who's coming, Ty, and do your best right here.
Yeah, no, Oklahoma made it very, very difficult. And then what's even more concerning, or just as concerning, is that Auburn's defense and any defense Alabama's going to face down the stretch is going to be just as good, if not better. This is the norm, you know? This is what Alabama is going to be dealing with down the stretch, and I just, quite frankly, did not see a lot in this Oklahoma game to make me think that Alabama's ready to handle that. Not what we want to be saying on November 17th about a team that has national championship aspirations. That's where I'm at personally with this football team and this offense right now.
I think it's fair. I think you, what could Ryan Grubb have done? Maybe you could have gotten more patient in the run game. Maybe. But with it being so poor the last 6 weeks, or really the last four in particular, with it being so meh the last handful of weeks, you would have had a real hard time. That would have taken some real like stubbornness to and real just, I don't know. Everything that your eyes have seen over the last 5 weeks for you would have said, we're going to run it even more. You might have been taking some crazy pills to come up with that. But now in hindsight, maybe that's what you could have done to mitigate this zone pressure a little bit. The other part, you know, I do think Ty played okay, but I think that there's some like look, this is his first year starting. And he's gonna watch this game and he's gonna think, damn, I missed so much.
Yeah.
Like And look, you can criticize Ty. You're seeing people, why doesn't Ty get the same criticism Jalen Milroe did? Okay, whatever. I think criticizing Ty is absolutely fine. He missed Jeremy a couple of different times. But my biggest thing with Ty was I think he got heated up, and I think I think his clock went, just started speeding up really fast, and it was, oh, crap, I got to get it. I think Ty's going to watch this game back and think, okay, there's a couple times where I could have sat in the pocket and a little more, but then a couple times where, buddy, it's just on you too fast. You got to dump it and get out of it. Whether it's throwing it away to the sidelines, that's something that Ty has really not done well this year, is throwing it to the sidelines, is just throwing it into the stands. Oh, students are over there. Nobody's covering the student section. We'll punt. I'm giving a play every chance I can, or I'm just going to throw it out to a hot read. Like the Isaiah Horton play, you go back to it, you're marching the field, you're doing okay, and you're about to change the game. You're about to change, and they bring two off the one edge, they drop two off the other edge. They bring two from the boundary, and Formby and Carroll pick up two guys, and they get a free rusher, and he, bam, fires it into Isaiah Horton. You're trusting Isaiah Horton to run the slant all the way hard and get over the middle, but he just didn't get there, and it kind of stopped his route, quite frankly, right into an interception. I think, Ty, you probably are going to grade him about a C plus, about a C, but you know, pretty rough. I mean, yeah, 326 yards, but the way he dealt with, and look, Daniel Hill got blown up in pass protection on one play. Like, you gave up four sacks as an offense. You got three official quarterback pressures. I just thought the offensive line gave good effort. Sure. Was better in the run game, was just confused in the pass game. And I thought the pass protection was just a bit of, we're confused, we're going to do the best we can, we're guessing. And they decided, I mean, they had so many boundary pressures. And then when it wasn't a boundary pressure, it was, it's a field pressure to the right-hand side, to the Carroll form beside. And that's why I guess people are upset that Roberts didn't get a chance to play. And I don't have an answer to that, really, why he didn't. That might be coming up in our press conference here in a minute. But the offense, you shoot yourself in the foot with these turnovers. I mean, you give them 7 points right there. You give them 3 points on the sack fumble, so a 10-point margin. I mean, clean up the offense, clean up the special teams. Your margin in this game is almost comfortable. Mm-hmm. Just drives me absolutely crazy to watch it. I'm with Cam, and I'm with you that Auburn DJ Durkin is seeing these films. He's going to see the South Carolina film, and he's going to see the Oklahoma film and think, how can we mesh these two things together? How can we pluck out what we do well from these game plans and make it the Auburn game plan and combine both these things? I think Ty's going to watch this game back and think, wow, I had a lot of opportunities to make a different decision. I don't really even think he can either take a sack there on the pick six, or he can throw it away. But I think that he was just trusting Isaiah Horton was going to run the slant and actually be there, which I don't even think is that bad of a decision. I think it's mostly on Isaiah Horton not running the slant hard enough. This whole offense is going to watch it back and think, wow, we did have 400 yards of offense. We did rush for 80 yards. We did have 326 yards of passing, but we could have come away with so much more.
Joe, how good is this receiving core? We talked at the beginning of the year so much about, oh, look, this team is two wide receiver ones. Oh, is this the deepest receiving core in the country? I think the answer to both those questions is officially no. I'm officially at that point. I mean, Jeremy Bernard is a very good football player. Is he an absolute game wrecker? No. Ryan Williams is Ryan Williams. I don't know what that means. I don't know what he is. I don't know how good he is. I don't think anyone really understands or knows the answer to those questions. Isaiah Horton is a big target. He is a guy who has a lot of potential. He's a guy who's had success, had, what, five touchdowns over the first seven games of the year, and I don't know exactly what he is either now. I don't know what we have in him. Brooks is having normal freshman year struggles. To be expected, I don't think it was realistic for him to keep playing at the level he was, you know, in the beginning of the year. It's just like, you look at those four. You look at, I mean, Rico Scott has just about disappeared from any kind of game plan. You don't see Cole Adams getting out there. You certainly don't see Mbakwe out there. Like, this receiving core has not lived up to the hype. It is not as good as we thought it was.
I think this is the Ryan Grubb question for today. Now that you're throwing it at me, I think this is the Ryan Grubb question for the day.
Yeah.
Cameron agrees with you. I hate to say it, but I truly believe Ryan Williams is overrated. He has had one good game. And in his one good game against Wisconsin, who is dog water bad.
He had a good game against Tennessee as well.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But Wisconsin is dog water bad. Oh. He's left a lot to be desired. We'll say that.
This is a guy that, if you ask the general average, you know, yeah, I watch college football a lot, and I'm a neutral college football fan, they would have said he was the second best receiver in the country.
Yep.
He might not be a top 10 receiver in the SEC.
Yeah, give me both Ohio State receivers and Jordan Tyson right now. We're at three. Yeah. Right now, we're at three. Give me Casey Concepcion right now. Give me Zachariah Branch right now. Give me Chris Brazel right now. I mean, this is just off the top of my head. This is just off the top of my head. yeah, that's where I'm at right now. Not good
at all, man.
No, and you look at this last fourth down play, and Ryan rounds his route off. Just, he's a heck of an athlete, but he lacks wide receiver skills from Cameron Metzger.
That's a great way to put it. At the end of the day, the guy's 18 years old. He should still be developing in many ways. Did we just get tricked last year? This goes beyond the sophomore slump. Like, it really does. I don't want to be having this conversation, but what is Ryan Williams? It's a big question right now for this program.
Let's see. All conference players receiving stats 2025. Let's just be obviously a little skewed by some Malachi Lemon, yes, give me him over right now for sure. Over him.
How about I'll take Craver too.
Mario Craver.
I'll take the other A&M receiver.
Man, just a lot of these guys.
Skylar Bell.
How far will you take Isaiah Satania, the Oklahoma guy? Oklahoma. He's got 718 yards receiving. He's 40th in the country. Give me Malachi Toney, freshman from Miami. You don't have an Alabama receiver in the top 50 in terms of yards.
Really?
Like, how far? Jeremy is 55. Jeremy's 55th in the country at 676.
Even what's the Mississippi State receiver's name? It's been really good this year.
Anthony Evans, 63 catches, 751. Brennan Thompson.
Thompson, yeah.
47 receptions.
He's had a better year.
868. Yikes. Deuce Robinson, Florida State, 49 receptions, 947.
You know, that's...
Danny Scudero's leading the country, 72 receptions, 1155 from San Jose State.
These San Jose State receivers, man. Yeah, back-to-back years, maybe leading the country.
Maybe a system receiver, but goodness gracious.
It's impressive. You know, and I think as we're talking about the receivers, we have to evaluate.
What about Emmanuel Henderson? 73rd in the country, 41 receptions, 638.
Impressive.
638 and 5 touchdowns.
To be fair, he did have like 200 yards in one game earlier, but still, good season.
Roll Tide, go Jayhawks, rock chalk. Cam Coleman, 47 receptions, 617. And 4 touchdowns.
Is he Alabama's wide receiver one next year?
I wish. I certainly wish.
Would you trade him one for one right now?
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And maybe that makes me a bad person, but I would.
Man, it would have been incomprehensible 13 months ago to even be having this conversation. You know, but as we're talking about the receivers, I guess another big question I'd like to pose is, what we saw from Josh Cuevas, right? That crazy performance. Will we see him take a much bigger role in the passing game? Was that a one-off? I think there are legs behind this. I think that Cuevas fits into this offense.
There's
really
gotta be.
Well.
There's gotta be legs behind it. Because right now you're not getting much from as you just outlined. Yeah. What's the party song?
Pepas.
And it's called Pepas. Okay. Yeah. I've been trying to figure out what the Josh Cuevas. Josh Cuevas. Josh Cuevas.
Is that the math teacher sequel?
It's in my head. I don't know what the rest of it's supposed to be, but it is in my head.
You know, we have a very talented DJ here at Bama Central who can probably assist you in putting that together.
We might need to brainstorm something.
Yeah, you guys got to get on that.
Something about a security blanket. Something. Josh Cuevas.
Yeah, call up DJ SKL for all of your EDM
and maybe that just tank the entire show. But I do think, Josh was always open. Underneath Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Just, man.
Best game
of his college
career. Oh, yeah.
With six receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown. At 64 yards of run after the catch.
Let's also talk. I mean, you run that fake stumble, which... Ben Johnson. All right, I've got a two-parter on this.
Please.
First off, the fact that it goes to Caleb Edwards, I think, is telling. Like, yeah, we're still running stuff for a tight end. Caleb Edwards, I think, is a guy who's extremely talented. Could play a role. I mean, I see shades O.J. Howard in him. I don't think we're not going to see that this year, but I'm very excited about what he can do in the future. But second off, you look at all the gimmicky stuff that Ryan Grubbs run this year, right? Your crispy package, your double passes, now you're doing a fake stumble. Is the well running dry on these trick plays? And also, I guess my follow-up to that is, did you run all this stuff thinking, okay, yeah, we're doing this until we get the run game figured out. Do you think that was the mentality? And now it's like, oh, we're at the end of the year. We don't really have the run game figured out. And how much more stuff can we do?
Is it that? But it's also goes back to your wide receiver question. Can we just not sit back and run flood concept, run drive concept, run mesh concept? Like, can we not figure out real passing concepts? Like, to stay on the field, you can't run spot and just play actual offense. Like, mm-hmm.
because it's cool.
It's fourth and one, and you've got Caden Proctor in the most important play of the game, and you got Caden Proctor in the backfield. I'm literally up in the press box thinking, bleep my life. Yeah. Like I am thinking, where's the poison? Because find me the bleach right now. And it worked. Okay, it worked. But it worked by a yard and a half because you flipped it to Lazia Brooks. If that ball had been handed off to Caden Proctor and he would have gotten stopped behind the line, like obviously that was probably never the play. It was all just decoy. But holy smokes, to go to that with fourth and one because you don't have a concept that you think, yeah, these wide receivers can all be on the right place. Or the offensive line can drive for 1 yard. It's problematic.
It was cool when he threw Caden Proctor the screen against Georgia. It was cool when he gave him the handoff against Vanderbilt. And it was really cool when you did that little like third and one, like cool little handoff against Mizzou, right?
Yeah, shotgun snap. Yeah, direct snap.
It's not cool anymore. It is concerning to me that we're still seeing it this much. And, you know, I'm waiting for that ball to pop out on one of those plays or some kind of miscommunication to cause something to be blown up because it hasn't led to anything really negative yet, but it will. I mean, there's only so much more that can be done. You know, there's when Ben Johnson runs all those trick plays, it's because, you know, it's fun, right? That Lions team last year did not need to be doing all that. This Bama team needs all that stuff. It cannot play traditional offense like you were saying, and we need to rely on gimmicks. I enjoy watching them get pulled off, but it should not be a real necessary part of your offense on a team that has a phenomenal QB and receivers that were this highly touted. We should not be heading into the second to last week of the year and talking about them as a real and necessary part of the offense.
I agree with you. I think the offense, last week after the LSU game, I kept using the term, the offense is getting boxed in. The walls are closing in on the offense. And I feel even more of that right now. But I think that Oklahoma, their defensive game plan was such risk reward, high risk, high reward. We'll let you get yards, but we're going to make these game changing plays. I mean, on the last play, the last drive of the game, they ended up with sacks. I mean, they stood to force the fourth and one. They ended up getting you like on a second and 26 or something like that because of a second and 16 because it was a big sack. I think the walls of this offense are starting to close in a little bit, and goodness gracious, you got 2 weeks to figure it out before you go down to Auburn and play a really, really good Auburn defense. All right, you got short time left.
No short time anymore here.
All right, we still need to go short time because we've been at 105. We need to respect our listeners' time and appreciate everybody listening and watching. Defense played outstanding, I thought. I mean, yes, you want that John Mateer touchdown run back. But played outstanding. Didn't come away with any turnovers. Oh my gosh, had a couple of near interceptions.
When we start throwing these defenders rugby balls,
I mean,
like it is. Yeah, and I've never been of the belief that you can be mad at a defender for dropping an interception. But like some of those are just you gotta.
You knew if Justin Jefferson comes up with his, if Justin Jefferson comes up with his, he's probably walking in the end zone.
Yes,
I know Clint Lamb has highlighted a Tim Keenan batted ball that was probably going right to Yonzi Pierre for a pick six. And look, Tim Keenan, you need to bat down the ball, so like no shade in there. But if Tim doesn't get his hands on it, maybe Yonzi catches it and walks into the end zone. Nakai Hill-Green had his hands on a ball as well, wasn't able to come up with it. But really, I thought the defense played largely outstanding. I thought Damani Jackson in his limited action, or all the hard stuff we've given Damani this year, he played the run pretty well. He played the edge pretty well. So give him a bright spot right there. Red Morgan, I think PFF had him as their highest rated Alabama defender of the day. Really just happy with the way defense responded to another sack fumble by forcing a field goal. look, the Tate Sandell, when you're able to kick a 50-something yard field goal, that's going to skew the defense's numbers just a little bit. But I was largely in the A-minus to A range for the Alabama defense.
Yeah, no, it can't be any lower than that for the special teams. F minus.
Probably as C plus for the offense as a whole, C for the offense, but I'm at an A minus for the defense.
I think A is where I'm going for the defense. That's just about all you can ask for out of a unit. They've consistently done a phenomenal job being put in bad situations. Kane Womack masterclass all year. That's the only way you can put it.
Yeah, can we start to silence every, like, if you are online, fire Kane Womack after the first down, you officially don't understand defense.
You do not at all.
Don't understand the way defense is played. Because I think the Oklahoma defensive staff, despite giving up 406 yards, are like, yeah, we did exactly what we wanted to do. Creating havoc. Like, the risk-reward fact. Like, I think people want the down-in, down-out, just dominant defense. And Alabama gave you some of that this past weekend. But Womack likes to play the risk-reward defense like Oklahoma did this past week a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, Oklahoma was just rolling that dice, baby, and we're going to get some havoc plays. We're going to heat them up. We're going to throw them off their rhythm, throw them off their time. Alabama does that some. They've trended into some of this dominant defense that you want to see down in and down out. But on the whole, I think Kane Womack has been extremely good as a defensive coordinator over a year and almost 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. You know, it's funny. You look at this Auburn team and you think, oh, if Hugh Freeze was still there, this would be another 10-3 game like we had a couple of years ago, right? Like, you just know that Auburn team under Freeze, I don't think would have had any life now. With this new offense, yeah, they'll probably pull some stuff out, but
whoa!
I did not think the defense was capable of this kind of play after FSU. That's for sure.
Definitely got let down by the other two phases for sure. Theo, anything standing out to you on the defense that you want to talk about? Because I think that besides giving them praise and saying, "Wow, you played hard." I don't know. I don't think anybody cares about how well the defense played losing, how well the defense played even in a loss.
No, I agree. You know, I've impressed again by Nakai Hill-Green.
Yeah.
He had the best game of his Alabama career against LSU, and he followed it up with a very good performance. I don't really have much to highlight outside of that.
Well, Theo, we got to get out of here. We appreciate everybody watching us. Cam Metzger joining us on the Facebook comment section and on the voicemail line. You can call us on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We appreciate Everett Osmer joining us on the comment section as well. Steve and Dax leaving us your voicemails. You can comment at JoeGaither6, at Theo Fernandez, _. We'll try to get the week back on track. I know Alabama basketball has themselves a big old basketball game against Illinois. That's going to be a big challenge. Alabama taking on Eastern Illinois this coming up week. It's going to be a get-right game in Bryant-Denny Stadium. So we'll see how that goes for the Crimson Tide. Obviously, we'll celebrate mildly Auburn losing to Houston. We'll celebrate Stephen Pearl losing his mind at the end of the game, looking for a foul call that he's never going to get. But difficult week if you're an Alabama fan. Difficult weekend if you're an Alabama football fan. We'll have Mason back on the program tomorrow. We'll bring Brax Garrison on the show to talk about how difficult it is with quarterback play, with the zone blitzing, who's coming, who's dropping out. I'll be writing about the zone blitzing on BamaCentral.com here in about an hour. I'll have that up. Or go to the press conference. You can find that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You'll get Ryan Grubb. You'll get Kane Womack. And you'll get Kalen DeBoer. I think I'm going to try to take your wide receiver. How Ryan Grubb, how do you feel about the wide receiver play this year? How do you feel about the route Isaiah Horton ran on the pick six? How do you feel about the route Ryan Williams ran on 4th and 6? Are you getting consistency in the wide receiver room? What are your thoughts on their development? And I'm sure he's going to say, well, they're doing good. They need to do better. They're doing good. I'm going to try to figure out a way to ask Kalen DeBoer about Connor Talti yelling at David Byrd.
Yeah.
I got to figure out a PC way to ask that question. Because I do want his comments, even if they are going to be generic comments. Well, we can't have that. Whatever.
No, I have a lot of questions for a lot of different people there.
So we'll have some press conference here in a little bit. You can find it on BamaCentral.com. An Alabama-Auburn kickoff time announcement is going to be coming up pretty soon. So that's going to be thrilling right now. It
usually comes out during the press conference.
Yeah, at noon.
Like 12.
Yeah, at noon. It's still to be determined. It's either afternoon or night in the two windows the SEC gave us.
I think it'll be night.
Oh my! Don't do that. Do not do that. Hell on earth.
Everybody is going to be watching that football game.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So we've got a lot to do on BamaCentral.com today, right here, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. We appreciate Purple Turtle Roofing for sponsoring the program. Call them at 877-787-6635. We appreciate Derek Daniel for sponsoring the hosting the program. We're in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios right off of McFarland Boulevard. His office is extremely accessible. You can find it just past the Tiger Rock, past the Rustic Rehab on the left, right here into Northport. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Home, life, auto insurance needs. Derek Daniel can take care of you. He's got three great employees upstairs waiting to talk to you. Red, Bobby, and Lane would love to talk to you about your insurance. So we appreciate Derek Daniel for sponsoring the program, for hosting the show. If you want to sponsor the program, you can find me in the DMs. We would love to read your ads. We're reaching more and more Alabama fans each and every day. So we appreciate all the fans watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, sharing it with your friends, leaving us a review, and join us tomorrow right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.